I want to look this morning at the deception of religion. In Genesis chapter 4, it says that, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" Man likes to serve God on his own terms. Man likes to serve God in the way as best seems fit for him, in the way that's convenient, that with his own rules and his own ideas and his own methods. And religion is man's attempt to serve God his own way. And it's not a new thing. Man, as we see here in Genesis, has been religious since the beginning of time. Here we see Cain trying to offer to God a sacrifice of vegetables and fruit, doing it his own way, but not the prescribed way. His offering was rejected by God, not because God favoured Abel over Cain, because he wasn't obeying the way God had said to do things. It wasn't the way God prescribed. God required a blood sacrifice for the firstborn, which Abel brought, and God accepted. What God wants is obedience, that man would do things God's way. But man throughout time has always tried to do things his own way as best suits him. Man is instinctively religious. He likes to serve God on his own terms. And the architect of false religion, we know, is Satan behind it all. This is why we're probably heading for a one world religion, multi-faith, all strands of the same God. Man is trying to build Babel again, because religion serves man and not God. It allows us to serve God, but yet gratify our own pride and self-glory. It allows us to serve God and indulge our flesh and to be carnal. It allows us to keep control of our lives, but still with us remaining on the throne. It's about man being in control rather than submitting to a holy God. And you see throughout the world's religions, man's attempt to serve God, working in his own strength with his rules and his legalism, false worship, false humility, a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Salvation by works, by ritual, by formulae. Man is still bringing the vegetables and fruit, isn't he, to the altar, because it makes him feel good about himself. Whereas Christ's sacrifice on the cross, it's all about what God has done for us, saving us by his grace, washing us with his blood, renewing us by his spirit, transforming us with his truth. Man's attempts are in vain, and God will pull them down and confound them, just as he did with Babel. The thing about religion is the spirit behind it, isn't it? And even in the Christian church, believers can have a religious spirit. Being a Pentecostal, Bible-believing church doesn't exempt us from becoming religious, does it? Having our own legalisms and formalities that can stifle the life of God, that can put up barriers to God moving. In our own individual lives, we can grieve the Spirit of God. We can resist the Spirit of God. We can ignore God's word and do things our way and follow our plans. It's just as much religion as any other. It really comes down to, who do we want to rule over us? Who do we want to be in control of our lives? Is it us or God? Religion is the default mode for man when he's not walking in the Spirit, but wants to maintain a pretense that he is. And we can substitute obedience for religious behaviour. We do the outward things, but we neglect the inner obedience to Christ. We strain at the gnat, but we neglect the weightier matters of love, justice and mercy. We go for the hobby horses that annoy us about others, and yet we excuse our own disobedience to God. We become Brother Plank, looking for the speck in everybody else's eyes, but ignore the huge plank in our own. Religion would rather do things any other way but God's way. Any other way than the way of the cross. Any other way than the way of self-denial and death to self. But the only way to serve Christ is to die with him. Paul said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 6:12 says, "As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." We have to go to the cross to serve God. And that's a road that's not very popular. It's a road that not everybody is prepared to follow, because it means giving up our rights and going God's way. It means relinquishing control of our lives over to God. It means death to sin, to selfishness, to self-gratification. It means living a crucified life to please God and not to please men. And it's costly. And yet, it comes with the grace of God and the peace of God, because it's God's way and not man's. The Galatian church was becoming religious. Paul warned them. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And he goes on to say, "Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Colossians 2:6-23 says this, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things have an appearance, indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. This is man's way. Self-imposed religion, false humility, neglect of the body, has the appearance of wisdom, it says. It's a form of godliness, but it says it's of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You see, religion allows man to carry on indulging his flesh because he looks outwardly religious, but God sees the inner man. He sees the flesh. He sees the hatred, the bitterness, the pride, the lust, the greed, the falsehood, the rebellion. And yet, religion justifies itself by keeping to rules, observing days, abstaining from foods, wearing outward garments of religion. But the Pharisees were inwardly ravenous wolves, it says. They were whitewashed gravestones. Galatians 4:9-11 says, "But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have laboured for you in vain." You see, men love religion more than faith. They love being under the law rather than being under Christ, being in bondage to legalism than being free in Christ, life in the flesh rather than life in the spirit. Because following Christ means us having to change. It means us having to die to sin. It means us having to submit to God's will. But this is so we can be free to live in the Spirit, in the power of God and in His grace. Colossians 3:3-17 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We are to put off the old man, and religion hates that. Putting off sin. It would rather cleave to bitterness and envy. and pride than have to change and forgive others and be content and acknowledge the provision of and power of God in their lives. True faith is relying on and trusting in God for everything. It's submitting our will to Him. It's allowing His Spirit to rule our hearts and minds. It's a full surrender to Christ with nothing held back. If you remember Saul, he kept back a bit of the booty, didn't he? The best of the sheep. And Samuel said, if you remember, what is this bleating that I hear? And Saul tried to justify himself and excuse his disobedience, and he got religious. But the fact was, he disobeyed God. And the scripture said, doesn't it, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. And this is what religion does. It rejects the word of the Lord. It substitutes it with man's interpretation of how he's best to serve God. But what God wants is the inner man. He wants obedience from the heart. He wants a willingness to obey Christ. To obey, it says, is better than sacrifice. God wants the inner circumcision of the heart, not the outward circumcision of religion. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. From Cain's offering of vegetables to the might of the one world religion and the Roman Catholic Church and all these other harlots of Babylon, man has been trying to serve God his own way in order to exalt himself, to become as a God with himself on the throne, to serve the flesh and not the spirit. Many think that they're serving God in their religion, and sincere though many are, no doubt, they're sincerely wrong. It doesn't make them right before God. You can be sincere and you can be sincerely wrong. There is only one way to God, isn't there, this morning? Through Jesus Christ. Through the atoning blood of Calvary. No penance, no indulgences, no amount of taking mass, doing the rosaries or churchianity is going to save you. Only Christ. The only way is the way of the cross. And that's the only way of salvation. There's going to be a lot of people in hell whom we may have thought of as good people, kind people, generous people. You know, the wicked don't all have horns growing out of their heads. Most are just ordinary people who just didn't want to obey God. But they wanted to do it their own way, to serve God their own way. How many times have you heard people say they serve God their own way? That they've got a special understanding with the Lord? They're going to be sadly disappointed. Jesus said many will come on that day and say, Lord, Lord, but won't be able to enter in because they didn't do the will of God. They did it their way. And sincere as they may or may not have been, it's not going to be enough. Only Christ's own blood is sufficient to save. Only Abel's offering of the firstborn of the flock was accepted. Cain went away sad because God rejected his offering. But God said to him in Genesis 4, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. See, we don't have to settle for religion. It says if we do well, we'll be accepted. In other words, if we do it God's way, we will be accepted. Cain, at that point, could have chosen to obey God. And if he'd have sacrificed the same as Abel, the firstborn sheep, God would have accepted his offering too. But instead, he chose to reject God and succumb to murdering his brother. When God is challenging our lives and showing us what we need to do, we can choose either to obey him and receive the blessing of his grace, or we can choose to disobey and go our own way and excuse ourselves from doing what is right in God's sight. And we'll probably come out with a religious sounding excuse for why we're not doing the will of God? Or we'll instead focus on some other issue or some other hobby horse to distract us from doing what God wants. But God will keep bringing us back round until we deal with the real issue. The only way of peace is the way of obedience. It can be painful in the process, can't it? None of us likes having to die to self this morning. None of us likes having to suffer or face loss or rejection or whatever else the cost may be. But afterwards, the scripture says it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Religion doesn't bring life or peace, only temporary appeasement of our conscience, if we're lucky. If we want the life of God, we need to do it God's way. We need to go the way of the cross, the way of the Son of God. And even if that means us losing everything, what we gain is worth far more than what we lose. 1 John 5:12 says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." John 5:39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." There's only one way to eternal life this morning, and that's God's way, through Christ, through the cross, through the blood of Jesus. Without the Son of God, we do not have life. Religion and legalism are trying to please God without the Son, and they are dead and lifeless. And if life could have come by just following a set of rules, then Christ needn't have died on the cross. Galatians 3:21 says, "If there had been a law given by which could by sorry start again if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." You and I are called to follow Christ, and trying to go any other way will not lead to salvation. The path of least resistance is usually not God's path. Jesus said the road to eternal life is narrow. Few there be who find it. Men only want to go their own way because God's way is unpalatable to them. They stumble at God's way because they don't want to have to change or have to submit their will to God. But until we're willing to go God's way and serve God in the prescribed way, our offering of religion will not be accepted. It will just be fruit and vegetables like Cain's. Men like to pick and choose how they obey God. They excuse why they can't or won't obey God, or when it's something they don't want to deal with. But you and I have to realise that God has our best interests at heart. He wants to save us. He wants to give us life. He wants to accept us in Christ. God is for us and not against us this morning. We need to trust God and put our lives in his hands, knowing that he will keep us safe and save us if we trust him. And even in the painful and the difficult things of life, God is still with us. We're not alone, are we, in these hard choices? He is there guiding us and leading us through. Like that cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, we just need to follow and go his way, not our way. Because our way ultimately leads to death, whereas his way leads to eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Amen.